Finally, the football gods reward us with a fantastic game, and what an amazing game it was as Ole Miss shocks, because I think that's the word, to be honest with you. Georgia, they advance. They send Georgia home in crazy fashion. Welcome to Crane and Cone. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We appreciate you guys joining us. Let it fly in the comments, too. Last game of the day that we're reacting to. Check out all our reactions before this. We appreciate you guys being here. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback. There on the other side, Blaine Crane, former Western State, Colorado wide receiver. In the middle, I mean, fellas, I felt like we had to get through those first two games. And actually, our producer, Sammy G, brought this up in the group chat. It's like we had to get through the trials and tribulations of the beatdowns that preceded this. And to be honest with you, there for a second in the second quarter, you kind of felt like it was getting away from Ole Miss because you feel like they had to be perfect.
I did.
But the and listen, we're going to talk about Trinidad Chambliss. I thought Gunner was really good in a lot of moments. But Coney, just before we get into the nitty-gritty, I thought Ole Miss's defense being able to get stops this time, especially in the second half, is what allowed them to be able to win the game. And it looked like that actually gave the offense confidence, like, hey, boys, we can actually stop these guys. If we go down and score, we can win. I mean, what a fantastic game, dude. Good Lord, what a fantastic game.
I can't believe what we just witnessed, man. And the first thing I want to say is congratulations to the Ole Miss players and this staff. The entire world picked against you. I picked against you. You had a situation where your head coach left for a different team in the same league. Everyone thinks that that's the only reason you had success. Georgia's going to dominate you. And this team said, hey, we were this close to beating this team in the regular season. They gave it everything they had. I thought this game was over at 21-12, just like you were saying in the second quarter. With that string of plays that Gunnar Stockton made to Cash Jones, and when they scored there before half, then this has the blunder. You felt like, hey, this thing's going to get away. And plus, Georgia's a second-half team anyway, right? Wrong today. Ole Miss was the second-half team. Congratulations to those players. And I'll tell you what, man, with the way they were playing football today, they can beat anybody on any given day.
Well, Blaine, we talked about in our preview of the whole college football playoff before we even played a game, like, could this actually galvanize Ole Miss's team? And, you know, there are a lot of people, like Cone brought up, that were bringing up, oh, well, they're screwed now, they're cooked now. I think getting Charlie Weiss Jr. to be able to come back and call plays was actually a really, really big deal. Yeah. And look, we can talk about the face mask that was missed. Ole Miss ended up winning the game, right? They ended up winning the game. I don't know how you missed that face mask. But I think the biggest thing that people would talk about outside of the performance of Trinidad and this offense and the defense stepping up for Ole Miss was Kirby going for that fourth down. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. I went back and watched it twice. I don't know if they were supposed to snap the ball.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Something weird happened, for sure.
I don't know. Which is crazy to say about a Kirby Smart coach
for
team
sure.
running it that big, right?
Well, they've been doing the run the punt team on, and they've been fooling everybody else. And it's like this time it actually caught up with them. I mean, if they did intend to snap the ball and the left tackle's not on the same page and – it was just really funky, and you just know Kirby, he really don't get down like that. He'll fake a punt. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
He really doesn't get down like that unless he just didn't think they had any chance to stop him, and I just don't believe that'll ever be the case at Georgia while he's there.
No, obviously not. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people pick Georgia in this game. It's not only Lane Kiffin leaving, but Kirby Smart being the head coach of Georgia. And usually when you smell blood in the water, which Georgia had, they usually take advantage of it, and you didn't see that in this game. The one guy I want to point out who's not going to get talked about enough because the players played phenomenal, hell yeah, Pete Golding. Hell yeah. Because at the end of the day, you weren't the hottest chick at the dance. You weren't, right? And she left. She went with the star quarterback somewhere at a better place.
And you like invented straws or something.
At the end of the day, there's always someone behind the scenes who's cooking something. And it felt like the players believed in Pete. And I think you showed that on the field. And not only win this game, but the way you won it. Being down at halftime, coming back in double digits, coming back and beat a Kirby Smart coach team who is the best halftime adjustment coach in college football. Ole Miss is going to be in good hands for a long time.
Yeah, I think Pete Golding pretty much cemented this one for at least a couple years.
Yeah.
That win itself may have been worth a rebuild next year if that's what happens, even though I don't even know if that's a real thing anymore with the transfer portal. Another thing I want to point out that is not going to get talked about as much as the other stuff. Unbelievable drive by Ole Miss going down late. being able to kick the field goal, that, you know, the play on third down where he hit, I believe it may have been Lee. I think it was Lee. It may have been Wallace when they ran what looked like slot fade. I got to go back and watch it. But the defense holding Georgia to a field goal before that, yeah, when Georgia was marching down the field at the what, the four? Yeah. They had what, three cracks from inside the 10, and Ole Miss was able to hold them to that field goal to tie it. That, to me, may have been the biggest possession of the game.
Yeah, 100%, man. That defense really bowed up there. I don't really like the third down call there from Georgia, to be honest. I'd get Gunnar Stockton out on the move. He put the ball in harm's way, I thought, on that one play, especially when you have an opportunity there to kick the field goal to tie it up. But going back to the drive there with 53 seconds left that Ole Miss completed, great for them, great for Trinidad Chambliss. I have to ask, though, what is Georgia doing on defense? Yeah. Allowing a wide receiver to get behind you in that situation. How are we not having some safety help over the top when you know what a big leg the kicker on the other side has? He's already broken the Sugar Bowl record for field goals twice in this game. That really surprised me a lot from Schumann and from a Kirby Smart defense. You usually don't see that, particularly in the fourth quarter of a game from them.
Yeah, and I agree. A lot of people are going to talk about that, and I believe they should. I mean, hell, I've been watching teams run three high at points during this college football playoff. You're starting to see it kind of filter down to college football. It's kind of been that way in the NFL for a while. Another funny thing, just because football, and if you've ever played it or coached it, you realize how funny it is. You do realize that Ole Miss, at the end of the game, was in the exact same situation pretty much that they were in right before halftime, where they totally screwed it up. You want to know why Trinidad Chambliss threw that ball away twice so early?
Yeah,
there was no way in hell he was giving anybody a chance to go down inbounds on third down with no timeouts, with not enough time to run the field goal team. You talk about halftime adjustments. You got a real-life adjustment after what you screwed up to win a game to get to the semifinal of the college football playoff. But, you know, you go through the numbers. Harrison Wallace for Ole Miss goes for a 160 on what, nine catches and a touchdown. Kewon Lacy had pretty much 100 yards on 22 carries. He's an NFL back. To me, he's Marcus Lattimore zero sugar. Not as good as Marcus, but, you know, they're both long-limbed, long strider, really tough, really physical runner. Trinidad Chambliss, man. Like, I swear at points, and I know this probably isn't the case, but it really does look like Ole Miss just invents stuff on the fly. Like they'll just do stuff that they haven't practiced or put on tape when you watch the combinations they run. But it's funny, yeah, you had a dichotomy of two dual threat quarterbacks, but they go about it in a different way. Like, Gunnar can make you miss, but he's more of that tough ass country style, you know, like beat an arm tackle, keep your head up, throw it right before you get destroyed. Trinidad Chambliss is out there running a magic show. Like, it's basically a magic show. I mean, that one play where he reversed out, then re-reversed back in, then pitched the ball to Kewon Lacy on the sideline. If this guy can just throw it okay, talking about Trinidad, if he can just throw it okay, he is a nightmare to defend, dude. Like, you know who he looked like to me in the second half of this game when you really watched him?
Don't say it.
He looked like Kyler Murray.
Hmm.
He looked like Kyler Murray. Okay. He was slinging that thing. Dude. The one he put on the face mask of old dude rolling right, arm side, was a laser, yeah, a heat seeker, in between that. If he didn't catch it with his hands, it would have gone through the face mask and landed between his teeth, and he'd have caught it.
Like, Trinidad ran around the entire game. Every time I was watching, you know how many sacks Georgia had? Zero.
Well, I mean, they haven't been sacking people a lot, but they got back there. I watched the left guard from Ole Miss get put in a coma one time, and Trinidad still got out of it.
Man, you know what I really love about what this kid does? First off, he takes free release when he gets it. So 5-yard hitches, 7-yard outs, he's taken those. He's done that the entire season.
Yep.
But then as soon as you get DBs to creep up a little bit so it's not quite so much free release and you get a little bit more press, what does he do? he hits you with the back shoulder. And I think he throws the back shoulder as well as anyone in the country. And you saw it today, and you saw it on that touchdown, Jake, that you're talking about after Kirby Smart went for it on fourth down. See, when he went for it on fourth down at midfield, I think the thought process here is this. It's fourth and two. We're going to pick up fourth and two, okay? But if we don't pick up fourth and two, we're not going to give up a touchdown. This is our Georgia defense we're talking about. At most, we'll give up another field goal. And then you have Trinidad Chambliss hitting a back shoulder fade to the field. Difficult throw, right on the money, touchdown. I mean, that's really what I love so much about him, the ball placement and then the ability to create with his legs like you're talking about. Again, he is a major reason why Ole Miss is here and they're going to be in the Final Four this year.
Before we get back to talking about that fantastic game, I want to talk about a fantastic product. It's our friends over at Good Ranchers and GoodRanchers.com. And 2026 marks 250 years of America, and conversations around American tables right now are forefront. We all know what's going on. But if you want something to make you feel better, I want to highlight the heart behind Good Ranchers and showcase how they're the only meat company that's fully dedicated to America at every step. I mean, Coney, they bring it right to our door. Chicken, steak, beef, pork, bacon, bacon butter, chicken nuggets. It's an amazing product. We've used it for years. I know you guys love it over there.
I had a bone-in ribeye from the last time I talked to you to this time I talked to you.
Look, there's something about you I knew was different.
Yeah, look, I only love a certain amount of things in my life, and I can tell you right now, Good Ranchers is one of them.
Wow.
And you'll love them too. That's why you need to go to goodranchers.com. Use our promo code Booster. That's B-O-O-S-T-E-R. You can save up to $500 a year, and you'll also get an additional $25 off your first order with that code B-O-O-S-T-E-R, goodranchers.com. Meet and greets, not just you talking to people. And, you know, when you look at Ole Miss defensively too, and I think you'll agree with me, I think the audience in the comments will agree with me, Georgia in the first half, and at points in the second half, was running through them like it was nothing with Nate Frazier. There were times that Nate Frazier looked like Joe Frazier. I mean, hell, Cass Jones popped one on the outside one time. There were plays where Nate Frazier wasn't getting touched. I know in the first half, for 4 to 5 yards. And I'm sitting there watching Ole Miss find ways to get stops. You had a lot of batted balls. But then to be able to step up and slow down that run a little bit late, and that's when Georgia just pulled the Zachariah Branch button, which I'd have pulled a lot more in this one.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's amazing. Gunner went to him on fourth down after he threw it to Cash Jones on the check down on third down when Zachariah was open. But Blaine, like, Ole Miss didn't do anything crazy different. It's not like they just started slanting every
time.
They
won the line of scrimmage. Like, in my opinion, if I look at you look at the numbers right now, Georgia had 124 rushing yards. And remember the last time they played? What did Georgia have? 240 rushing yards in that football game.
Yeah, they
remember
on
who
heavy.
Georgia is and who Mike Bobo is, right? They want to turn around and hand the ball off, and that's going to set up their play action, and that's going to set up their deep shots. At the end of that, Georgia had averaged 3.4 yards per carry. That's a win. If I'm Ole Miss with 37 carries
and
120
hell yeah.
yards, that's a win. Look, the offense has never been a problem at Ole Miss, and as you can see, it is still not. But if they can be a timely defense on turnovers, really good on third down, then you're going to keep yourself in every game you play because your offense is that good and that dynamic when you have a guy like that at quarterback. You realistically gave up less than 30 points against Georgia. And if you're Ole Miss, if you give up any less than 30, I feel like we have a good chance to win the game.
Yeah, and think about it too, guys. I mean, Georgia had a fumble return for a touchdown in this
yeah.
one. So in reality, the defense gave up 27. And if I was an Ole Miss fan and you can't have found a bottle on the side of the road in Oxford, which I'm legitimately kind of afraid they may burn Oxford down tonight. Like I'm actually worried about the city. But it's like they found a bottle and rubbed it, and a genie came out and said, "Hey, Ole Miss fan, you're only gonna give up 27 points on defense tonight." I would have taken that in spades.
Mm-hmm.
In spades, 100%. And look, the pass interference call at the end on 14, that was pass interference. The hold on 14, that was a hold. How in God's name they missed that face mask?
That was a bad miss.
Like, it was wide open in front of everybody. And we have to stop letting – and I've got to see the age of these officials. But to Blaine's point the other day on social media, we got to stop letting old people be refs. Like, driving past a certain point.
It's a safety issue. Not only for the refs, but for the players. I mean, I can't see another commercial of someone going up that machine on the stairs and saying, "I used to be a referee." We need to get
last year.
Yeah, well,
they need you out there.
Look, you pay volunteer. Me enough, I'll do whatever.
Yeah, yeah, look.
Volunteer.
There's going to be a lot of flags.
Oh, there's no, oh, there's no money. There's
you
talk no about, money
hey, you
involved.
Hey, Cone, you talk, no about hitting, you talk about hitting bets.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody better grease
yeah,
my hand.
I know a guy. I know yeah. a guy. I'll
you
be
think
hitting
Tim
yourself
Donaghy
one up in the middle
bad.
Of the game. Yeah. I go back to the first edition of this game where Georgia scored on every possession, and both teams combined scored on 13 of 16 possessions. Mm-hmm. And while I was talking about Ole Miss, so excited to get another crack at Georgia because, hey, they let that thing slip away and gave up 17 points in the fourth quarter. Georgia, too, I thought was like, hey, let's get another crack at Ole Miss. We're not going to give up 40 points in this game. Because you see Kirby make adjustments when they play a team twice. Look what happened mm-hmm. with Alabama in the regular season and then just stomped Alabama in the SEC championship game. To still give up 39 points with Kirby Smart on defense, that's really what surprised me. And the second thing that surprised me here, if Ole Miss just played Georgia tight the entire day and then, you know, found a way late to sort of score on the last play and win it, that'd be one thing. But to come from behind the way they did, again, I thought this thing was over at 21-12. To play from behind like that and to be galvanized like you were talking about, Jake, again, hats off to them, man. And on the Georgia side, you know, I do think some criticism is due to that defensive call there on the last possession. A lot of these guys deserve some flowers, man. Gunnar Stockton, a Georgia boy, in every way that you can be a Georgia boy, out there just an absolute gamer. Not just Zachariah Branch, the Branch brothers. I mean, the Branch on defense making critical plays late in the game to help Georgia, and Nate Frazier. I mean, that kid has etched his name in the pantheon of great Georgia running backs. I hate that he got injured there towards the end. He runs like Isaiah Pacheco to me. And not only that, but playing with a sense of urgency between the whistles. You saw when they were going 2-minute drill with 8 minutes left because they're down 10, it was Nate Frazier who was running the ball to the referees. So there was still a lot of good things from the Georgia Bulldog side of things.
There was, and look, we would be remiss if we didn't give a shout out to Lucas Carnero. The dude breaks the Sugar Bowl record for
player
longest kick twice in the first half, and then absolutely just pipes one to win the game. There was no doubt. That ball left his foot. That was good from 60.
Yeah.
Like that kick was good for 60. It's like the few times where you hit your driver really good. He just had one of those days. He just had one of those days. You get up on the first three holes and you just absolutely flush one. Just perfect. Really happy for him. I'll say this, just the last thing that I have here, guys. We appreciate you joining us. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Can't blame the play calling of Mike Bobo. I thought he called a pretty good game, man. I thought Georgia was pretty balanced. Y'all agree?
No, I do, agree. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. This isn't about I think the offense could have played a little bit better, especially on the line of scrimmage, but this is about Georgia and their defense. It's been a really weird year for Georgia on defense, not having those guys up front that can just absolutely change a football game. They gave up a lot of points, but still found themselves in this situation. So I'm glad Ole Miss won, but God, that Georgia Carson Beck matchup would have been pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that would have been that would have been prime time. But I'm gonna tell you right now, man. I don't know. The more I look at this, if I'm Miami, I may have wanted Georgia. I may have wanted Georgia because Ole Miss is just out there playing, like they're basically playing ultimate frisbee.
Yeah, I mean, you have both the edges for Miami, who are going to get there, but can they get him on the ground? Can they get Trinidad on the ground?
And as far as Georgia's defense at Ole Miss, like I was thinking, you know, there at the end watching Ole Miss go up and down the field, this just you know, it's like for some reason Georgia sees Ole Miss and they're like 30 years old, but that was like their first love that they saw walking in the city, and it just melts them. Like they're married with two kids, but like still they feel – it's just – I don't know what it is, man. Ole Miss just up – it amazes me. Like sometimes people just have your number, man. And I'll say this, boy, Charlie Weiss Jr. looking like he had a lot to do with some of the successes there at Ole Miss offensively too now. True. Like I think deep down maybe Lane isn't thrilled about this result. That's just my opinion. I don't know him.
I was thinking about that during the game too. Like, there's no way he was rooting for him. He can say whatever, but
there's maybe, no way.
I hope not. I'm trying to be positive. It's a new year. New year, new me. What do the kids say? I don't know.
He's still got
it. What do they say? You know? Yeah, what do the kids say? You gotta keep it a buck though.
You gotta keep it above.
Blaine, there's 50. No way Lane was rooting for Ole Miss.
No
way.
Zero shot.
No, he's not. He's gonna look. He's probably gonna call some guys and say congrats, but he's probably pacing around that living room a little bit.
No, it's
Hey Charlie, good job. Good job. But you know, I showed you a lot of that.
Yeah, that's a good job running my stuff.
Still my playbook. Good. That's my green playbook, like the water boy.
Yeah.
You know, but
or it's going to get awfully physical around here.
Look, man, Georgia had to play from behind in the majority of their games this year, like over half of them. And just you can't do that every single week. Finally, it just caught up with them, man.
Yeah, gave up a 20-piece in the fourth. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Wow. All right. Appreciate you guys joining us. It's been a hell of a day. Check out all of our reactions to the games. Got a lot of content, obviously, coming up here as we move on, not only into the new year, but into the semifinals. That's right. The final four of the college football playoff is upon us. And the transfer portal opens, guys, January 2nd. So there's going to be a lot of news. It's going to be coming fast and furious. That's why you need to stay with On3. Check with our buddy Pete Nakos over there. Everybody that's keeping tabs on what's going on. It's the best place to do it. It's one of the reasons why we're here. We appreciate you and like the chances of me not probably going to close my eyes and now think if really Stranger Things was just a Dungeons and Dragons game this whole time that we wasted our lives
watching. A lot of Stranger Things out of you today. Yeah. A lot of Stranger Things.
I don't know. There's some things.
See, that's what happens. That's
See,
what happens.
There he goes.
That's what happens.
Stranger Things.
Vecna got him. Hey, appreciate everybody to listen. Dave, do you got anything else?
No, you sign off.
All right. Hey, we love you guys. And make sure you check all the content, all the instant reactions that we dropped. And we'll see y'all maybe tomorrow.